Need a recap of Sunday's readings? It's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight is from Monsignor Gerard O'Connor, the rector at St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception here in Portland.
The mercy of God the Father echoes throughout the entire liturgy today, especially in our readings there. It reaches its peak in the Gospel, of course, which recounts those wonderful parables of God's mercy for the sinners and the importance of repentance. In the first reading, we listened to God's mercy for his people, thanks to the intercession of Moses. And then in the second reading, we read about St. Paul's letter to Timothy, where he admits that he was the worst of sinners, but is the recipient of God's mercy. And in today's gospel, we hear the parable of the prodigal son, which we're all very familiar with, and we'll look at that in a moment. But first, the preamble to that are those two little parables. The first about the lost sheep, the shepherd leaving the 99 and going to find the one, and the woman who loses one of her 10 coins and goes to a lot of effort. These parables are to remind us about the uniqueness of us as individual souls before God, that we were created uniquely. We're not a group of people that if one goes missing, that's fine, there's still 99 left. Every single one of us is uniquely loved by God, and then if we do go missing, he will come and find us. It seems sort of ridiculous, those parables where you find a sheep and then you're going to put on a massive party for your friends and neighbors. You find a tiny little coin and you call all your neighbors in to have a little party and things, probably costing you more money than the coin. That's not the point. The point is that part of it was lost. Part of God's creation was lost, and that's why the shepherd comes after that sheep. It doesn't make much sense that he would leave 99. But then again, when you think about it, if you've got six children and one doesn't turn up from school, you might leave the other five to go and find out where that one is, right? Immediately, panic. But the sense to these two parables only comes to us when we understand the great love for God for each of us uniquely, and that infinite love that he has. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is probably one of the most beautiful stories ever told. Pope Benedict says it's perhaps the most important parable of important of all Jesus's parables. And in fact, Pope Benedict calls it the parable of the two brothers, since the role of the second brother is quite central to it all. But when you look at the parable of the prodigal son, you can put yourself in there at some point. You're either the prodigal, or you're the elder brother, or you could be the father, perhaps. You could put yourself as one of those people who are dancing and listening to the sound of music, but that wouldn't make much sense. But those three characters are very important, because we've all been one of those at some point, I think. We've all been the one who walks away from God in sin, the one who's jealous, the older brother who feels as though he's left out from God's love. And perhaps we've been the father or the mother, the parent who welcomes back into the fold one who's gone off. But it's one thing I think is very important about this parable that often we don't see is the magnanimity of the father. Because he complies with the son's wishes, which doesn't make any sense at all. Culturally, even now to this day, you wouldn't go to your parents and say, hey, give me what I'll get when you die. You know, can you imagine doing that? Imagine the response you'd get. But certainly in the Jewish culture, that's certainly very insulting, very cheeky to do this. Give me what is due to me. And by the way, I'm going to go off and squander it on prostitutes and drugs and alcohol and having a good time or whatever. I mean, if any one of your children came to you and said that to you, what would you say? Nope, not doing it, right? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't encourage them to do that. One, I'm going to cut you off because you shouldn't be asking for the money before I'm dead. I don't like that. Two, I know you and you're going to waste the money on prostitutes and drugs, you know, whatever it is. And three, no, again, for the second time. You know, so it doesn't make any sense. But what does the father do in the parable? He complies. He says, yeah, okay, I'll give you the money. so you can go off, do whatever you want, live a life of pleasure. And the analogy here is free will, right? God gave us free will, so we can make those choices. We'll make choice for God or against God, and he's not going to stop us. And we know that for a fact, don't we? We know we have the choice of good and evil. That's free will. That's why in the parable, the Father says, yes, go do what you need to do. Go what you want to do. I'm not going to take the free will away from you. And that's our lives. We have that choice. We have the choice to do good or evil, to go to God or to go away from God. The Son journeys into that far country, and the church fathers tell us that that represents a massive rupture in the relationship between Father and Son, between God and son and daughter. He's gone away on his own. He squanders his inheritance on pleasure. He doesn't understand life. He doesn't understand that there are responsibilities in a relationship with God, with the Father. He doesn't want to be subject to any authority. He doesn't want to play by the rules of the Father's house. He wants to live for himself and live for no one else. At the end of the parable, the son who was completely free, had that free will and that free choice to make, at the end is completely unfree. He's so unhappy. He's a swineherd and he's happy to eat the food of the pigs. And for Jews, of course, this is disgusting. I mean, to tell this story that a Jew would become a swineherd and then want to eat the pig's food is pretty disgusting. We don't get it culturally how offensive this is. Imagine our Lord telling this story to the Pharisees and the scribes. This is disgusting stuff they're talking about. But this is an expression of the man's destitution. This is an expression of how rock bottom he was. You couldn't get any worse than this. You've squandered everything on prostitutes and whatever else. You're now working with pigs and so hungry you would eat the pig's food. This represents really rock bottom. So, what happens? Well, here's the key to this parable is that he sort of doesn't feel sorry for himself. He doesn't go, He doesn't despair. He makes this one decision, which he examines his conscience. And he says, it's me who's wrong here. I'm not going to blame the world. I'm not going to blame the swineherd boss. I'm not going to blame this, that, and the other. It's just me. I examine my conscience. I did something that was horribly wrong. I'm going to admit it, and I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to go back to the Father. I will rise and go back to my Father and admit that I've sinned against heaven and against him. That's the key to this parable, is the admittance that he was wrong. And then he goes back to the Father. And when he goes back to the Father, what does the Father do? The same as Almighty God does to us. He greets him. He goes out to meet him with compassion, we read in the Gospel. How could the Father not feel compassionate for his son, for his boy, who's made some horrible mistakes, but has repented? That's the key. He's repented. He's admitted he's wrong. He comes back. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Get him the ring and the cloak and the sandals and kill that fatted calf. Let's have a party. It's just awesome. It's just that, you know, these steps in repentance of just, first of all, examining one's conscience. And we do that because of the environment that we're in sometimes. You know, when we're miserable sometimes, you know, or, you know, things not going our way. It's good to reflect on life and where we stand with things. When we don't feel at peace with God, when we don't feel the grace or the love of the Holy Spirit in us, it's a good time to reflect. And when we do that, admit that we're wrong and then repent, which is to go back, is to turn around and go back to the Father. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord came to save us from our sins. But on our part, we must repent. We must turn around. We must admit that we're wrong and go to the Father and seek his mercy. And we know he will be there with his compassion and mercy and love, of course. We as Catholics have the beautiful sacrament of confession, of reconciliation. That is how we ordinarily do this repentance thing. We go before the Lord. We go and confess our sins. We admit that we're wrong. That's the first thing, which a lot of people can't do in today's world. But it's most important for repentance, because if we don't admit we're wrong, there's nothing to repent of. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, when we think about the prodigal son, we always sort of think about the great love and infinite mercy of God. But remember, we need to sometimes admit that we're wrong and come before him in the sacrament and seek his mercy and be confident of that mercy.
And that was today's homily highlight from Monsignor Gerard O'Connor, the rector at St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception here in Portland.